Together, we are heart of centered spiritual community dedicated to empowering personal transformation and living the unlimited possibilities of spirit. Now, I got to say it one more time so I get it right. Okay, together, we are a heart-centered spiritual community dedicated to empowering personal transformation and living the unlimited possibilities of spirit.
It is true.
We also say namaste. The light within me greets the light within you. Namaste. I want you to turn to somebody close to you and say namaste.
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 Y'all.
Namaste.
Well, the human mind is a very curious thing. David Letterman once said with much sincerity, America is the only country where a significant portion of the population believes that professional wrestling is real, but the moon landing was fake. Got to prove it, you know. Astronaut John Glenn said, as I hurtled through space, one thought kept crossing my mind. Every part of this rocket ship was supplied by the lowest bidder. And Emo Phillips said, the computer once beat me at chess, but it was no match for me in a kickboxing contest. I bet you feel the same way about your computer sometimes, right? I am realizing the power of the heart. I am immersed in love's presence, and it guides my way. Why don't y'all say that with me one more time? I am realizing the power of the heart. I am immersed in love's presence, and it guides my way. One more time. I am realizing the power of the heart. I am immersed in love's presence, and it guides my way. We got to grow into that thought, don't we? We're immersed in love's presence. Nothing is as it ever appears to be. But if you pause and look deep within, you'll discover that the heart knows. You'll discover the power of the heart. You see, once there was a little boy riding across town on a city bus, and he was very huddled very closely to a very well-dressed lady, and he was swinging his legs back and forth, as kids do. You ever did that when you're a little swing? Still do, don't I? Right? When accidentally he bumped his shoe against the woman sitting across from him. Oops! Well, she got a little upset and spoke directly to that well-dressed woman who he appeared to be snuggling up against. Pardon me, ma'am, but you would please tell your little boy to keep his feet to himself. The well-dressed woman looked at that boy as if he had never even been aware that he was there. And she shoved him aside and said, "He's not my boy. I've never seen him before." Well, embarrassed, the little boy moved to another seat where he tried to hide. It was obvious the boy was fighting back the tears. He looked at the lady who was well dressed and he had soiled it and said, "I'm sorry. I bumped you. I didn't mean to." The woman saw that what the scolding had done to him, and she felt really bad. And she responded, "Oh, honey, it's all right. Are you going somewhere alone?" The boy lowered his head and he answered, "I always travel alone. My mom and dad died, and I live with my Aunt Margie. When she gets tired of me, she sends me over to Aunt Elizabeth." The woman asked, Are you on your way to visit Aunt Elizabeth now? And the boy replied, yes, but Aunt Elizabeth hardly is ever at home. I hope she's home today because it's really cold outside. And the woman looked at the boy and said, you're awfully young to be riding on a bus alone. And the boy piped up, it's okay. I never get lost, but sometimes I'm awful lonely. So when I see someone who I like to think is family, I huddle up close to them and pretend they're my family. That is why I got your dress dirty, but I forgot about my feet. Hearing this, the woman moved over to where the boy was sitting and put her arm around him and tucked him in real close. She understood that what he really wanted, what he really needed, was to feel that someone loved him. We all have this need to feel that someone loves us, creating a sense that we are somehow connected to something that is much greater than ourselves. We are born with this prompting to feel love, and we never grow out of it. No matter how we try to hide from it and try to deny it, this prompting we feel love is connected to others is the greatest driving force in our life. Sometimes this prompting to feel love can drive us to do the most incomprehensible things. Why? Well, one answer can be found in the book, The Eye of the Storm. Gary Simon writes, it is through your relationship that you experience your wholeness, your sense of worth. In reality, you only have one relationship, your relationship with God. And you experience it through your relationship with others, with life and with yourself. The whole objective here in this physical reality is to experience communion with God, to feel a sense of oneness, of being connected with the components of life in a much more profound way than what the mortal mind can even comprehend. When our soul does not feel connected to someone or something in that profound way, it prompts us to take action to fill this most basic desire. The power of the heart is found in this connection. Feeling our oneness with the divine and all the life around us. Unfortunately, most of us have never been taught to understand the ways of the heart. So when we don't feel that sense of connection to someone or something, we project our feelings of separation that we are feeling out onto the people and the situations that we find ourselves in. We project those feelings out there. Believe it or not, when you throw out modern-day theology and look through this lens, you'll discover this is actually what the Bible is actually about. Genesis 2, when you bite into the fruits of the knowledge of good and evil, you are choosing to leave the Garden of Eden and all of its wonders and then go live in Nod, the place of afflictions. 1 Samuel 16:7, the Lord does not look at the things man looks at. A human looks at the outer appearances, but the Lord looks into your heart. This theme is repeated over and over again. The author of the letter of 1 John describes this longing of the soul best. Beloved, Let us love one another because love is God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and love is perfected in us in this way. By this we know that we abide in God, for God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. You see, the heart knows this profound truth. As we reach out to make that connection with others, we are opening ourselves up to know the fullness of God's love and God's life. For in the moment we connect, divine love flows forth in and through us. Only then can we feel its presence. And that is what our soul longs for. You know, 2,000 years ago, this guy named Jesus lived on this physical plane. As many groups will tell you that he came to save you. They believe to save you from the eternal fires of hell. They'll come up and knock on your door. They'll send you text messages. They'll send you emails asking if you've been saved. Ever, that ever happened? Am I the only one that gets those things?
No.
No. Oh my gosh. Is Lord Jesus your personal Lord and Savior? As those groups look back, it seems all too clear that he was clearly focused on this mission that he knew from his birth, who he had come here to be, to save you from your sins. But is that true? Yes, but no. Right? Don't you love that? Yes, but no. I actually believe he had a slightly different mission. A different purpose. And he realized it on that day his cousin John baptized him down on the River Jordan. It was a turning point for him, a message so strong it caused him to flee into the wilderness, to run away so that he could sort things out in that time apart from the world and away from the rantings and ravings of the mortal mind in all of its fears and all of its estate. He gained a vision of what he was meant to do, what he was meant to be. The very important message he was to share with his people and the world was about their inheritance, about your inheritance, about our inheritance. That's just waiting to be realized and claimed. That's right, your inheritance. It's not about how to avoid some fiery furnace that somebody called hell after you die, but how is to see the miracle before your eyes that is always there and so that you can access this ever-expanding field of possibilities and goodness that's just waiting for you to claim and experience. This inheritance will produce a deep, abiding joy and happiness. It will do away with all that self-inflicted nonsense. And everybody here knows that's what the word sin actually means. Self-inflicted nonsense. The nonsense that the rantings and ravings of the ego mind that cast out upon you. Yeah. Self-inflicted nonsense, sin. You know what happened whenever anybody was not so doing well? Jesus said, stop it. Go and don't do that self-inflicted nonsense no more. Right? Your inheritance of joy and love is so contagious that you can't help yourself when you want to share it. Do you remember Jesus' mission statement? Jesus actually had a mission statement. He said, in the Gospel of John, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Wouldn't you like to live in that state? That state called joy? Well, did you know there was a state called that? Joy? Right? How do you get there? Right? By being the way of love, of following the teachings that Jesus left us to understand the true power of the heart. Truth is, this is not a trendy new thought idea. Many ancient mystics of Jesus' time and before were Gnostics, a spiritual cult spread all around the Mediterranean Sea. Although Socrates and Plato often get credit for the start of it, I believe it existed long before they began teaching about it. It's evidenced in the writings of Sophia, a prophetess in Egypt, right? Y'all heard of Sophia. It was prevalent in the Coptic priests of the Nile River Basin. Simply put, your heart will know and guide you. The Gnostics believed that all true knowledge was drawn forth within us as a result of this inner revelation, not the result of observation that could be measured, recorded, predicted in a physical realm by some abstract science. Something the modern science of quantum physics, a very abstracting science, has done some very interesting work on, which supports this ancient teachings of the Gnostics. Research that will actually be shown in the movie that we're showing this afternoon about the power of the heart. But the belief that the heart contained such wisdom existed long before the Gnostic movement ever came to be. In fact, according to the Bible, it existed since the beginning of time. When I did a word search on the word heart in the Bible, I found it mentioned 592 times in 550 verses. Separate verses. Pretty amazing, isn't it? I was a little overwhelmed. Now, as you can imagine, not all the references were used with the idea that the heart was full of wisdom. It was often used to convey God's love for you. Yeah, to convey God's love for you. God's compassion for you. God's grief for you. Grief over the fact that we somehow believe that we're separate from it. Anybody ever taught that you were separate from God? Oh my gosh. However, the word heart was most often used with the word wisdom in phrases that convey a deep, profound faith that connects us with this field of living energy that we in unity call God, an energy field that we live, move, and have our being in. Unfortunately, most of us have had experiences like that boy riding that bus, and they didn't go very well either. Consequently, we've learned to hold on to our heart very tightly. We watch and monitor the affairs of the world that seem to have gone mad, and we wait for that perfect opportunity to share the love that exists within us, further complicating the situation that we found ourselves in. It's the cultural belief that we are somehow incomplete as a person until we find that perfect mate, our soulmate, to share our life's journey. So we wait to share the love and wisdom of our heart with that right and perfect person. And we wait and we wait and we wait and we wait and we wait. Or perhaps we share our heart and we get hurt. And then we become reluctant to try again. In the process, we fail to realize the deeper spiritual truths of any given situation. One truth is that no one's judgment is about you. It's about the person who is doing the judging. It's about what is missing and incomplete or needs to be healed within them. But when you react by making the other person wrong or by defending yourself, you make the judgment mean that it's all about you. When in reality, it's not. It's really snot. To what I really wanted to say. In any case, it's important you remain open to the information being shared because it gives you an opportunity to fill the gaps, to repair the breakdowns, to discover the missing pieces, to develop loving relationships and experience communion with the sacred spirit of all life. Instead of reacting to the judgment, try saying, "Tell me more. I'm listening." Wise words of Byron Katie. Tell me more. I'm listening. Another truth is that love is like the ocean. Just as fish, we swim in this ocean of God's love. However, it is felt and expressed best when we are flowing in its current, allowing it to move through us like the water fountain. It just goes flowing, moving through every cell of our being, continually creating and renewing, continually moving. The power of the heart knows that to experience love, we have to share of its riches. And to do this, we have to love, allow that love to flow through us out into the world, out to others, creating this energy current that can be best felt in every part of our being, continually renewing itself as it flows through us. Eric Butterworth wrote, "Love is not something you do. Love is being. Love is not trying. Love is being. Love is not finding the right person, it's being the right person. Love is something you be." Love is something you be. It is the truth of your being. However, to experience the truth, you have to clear away whatever is restricting its expression. There's this lighthouse off the coast of Massachusetts that many lonely sailors have searched for. It's unlike any other lighthouse in the world. Despite its uniqueness, the Coast Guard decided to update its rather antiquated equipment. So when they announced to the public that they were going to install a more traditional modern system, an outrage rippled across the strait, and sailors from around the world wrote messages of protest. After the great debate, the Coast Guard decided to leave the equipment be, and it still remains there today, sending this message out into the night, out into the fog, out into the rain, out into the good weather, a nautical light that flashes, "I love you, I love you," out into the universe. Do you know what the most powerful force in the entire universe is? The power of the heart. HeartMath has done amazing studies on the power of the heart in spoken in love, thanksgiving, and gratitude. HeartMath studies about the wisdom of the heart are about the wisdom of heart, not the mind. The mind just thinks. It knows no knowledge of its own. You know, you got to remember what JC said. In all things, seek first the kingdom of goodness and its harmony and balance, and every good thing your heart desires will come unto you. I am realizing the power of the heart. I am immersed in love's presence, and it guides my way. Can you affirm that with me one more time? I am realizing the power of the heart. I am immersed in love's presence, and it guides my way. Sounds like we need to do it one more time. Together, I am realizing the power of the heart. I am immersed in love's presence, and it guides my way. Wow. I invite you to go on a journey with me.